Have you ever felt like you just didn't fit in? Kind of like a square peg in a round hole? We go through this life and sometimes we just don't seem to fit. Have you ever felt like you were living at the wrong time? We've often commented in our house, you know, we were born a generation or two late. Doesn't it sometimes feel like you would have been better off if you'd been born a generation or so before you were born? We look back with fond memories of the stories our grandparents and parents told of a simpler time, a harder time in many ways, but simpler. It's like we think maybe that we'd been better off if we'd been born before many of the modern inventions and the conveniences that clutter up our lives in this age. If you think that's true, just take some of those things out. You know, throw away your computer and your cell phone and your televisions and all these things that we now have, and we'll see how life would be. We may find that we're pretty glad that we're born in this generation. But there have always been those who did not seem to fit into their surroundings or situations. And we've all, in our lives and through the course of the time we've lived on this earth, have had situations in our lives in which we didn't feel like we fit. But we make choices in this life, and these choices, by and large, determine our circumstances. Oftentimes, it's hard to get people to admit that. They'll think, well, you know, just everything bad seems to happen to me, and everything good happens to everybody else. More often than not, our circumstances are a direct result of the choices that we make. But as we go through this life, we all fit somewhere. Believe it or not, there's this special little hole that's shaped just like you. And you fit in that hole. We may not be certain as to where we fit or exactly where our place in life is. We might not be certain as to how well we fit. I have several suits in my closet, and some I don't wear as often as others. Well, they're the same size, and I'm the same size. But if they're cut just a little bit different, they don't fit right. And if they don't fit right, I don't like to wear them because I'm uncomfortable. And that's the way we are when we don't fit our particular circumstances, our situation. Where do you fit? That's the question we need to ask today. That's the question for the sermon. Where we fit may very well determine where we will spend eternity. When it all boils down, there are only two places where we'll spend eternity. One of those two places. We can't spend eternity in both. It's not like a vacation. You can't check out and go from one place to the other. And so the choices that we make, the things that we choose in this life, or where we decide that we will fit, might very well determine where we will spend eternity. By the same token, there are only two places we can fit in this life, and that's the issue in this morning's sermon. As you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, which serves as our text, we will see a passage that has often been misaligned. People have taken it and tried to pull it out of context and make it try to say something that it doesn't say. But we want to look at it from the standpoint of where do we fit? He warns the brethren there, those who were already children of God, those who had been baptized into Christ. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He goes on and asks another question. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Interesting questions. Those things that you look at are diametrically opposed to the other things that were mentioned in each section of this particular verse. He asks in verse 16, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This particular passage is talking about those who have chosen God. Oftentimes the world looks at the situation backwards. They think, well, God chooses them. Well, what are they going to do in the passage that says God is not a respecter of persons? Why is it that there are some that are saved and some that are lost? The truth of the matter is because those who choose to be saved have chosen to do the things that were found in God's Word and decided that they fit into and molded themselves to the Word of God. Verse 17 tells us how we are to do this of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." It's interesting. Sometimes when our children are small, in order to get them to drink certain liquids, or maybe they have a favorite glass, and sometimes that glass has a distinctive shape. And that cup or that glass, when you pour the liquid into it, the glass does not conform to the liquid. The liquid conforms to the glass. And that's what the Apostle Paul is writing to them as he's telling them, come out from among them. From among whom? The world. He says, and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We need to understand that when we look at where we fit, one of the choices that we might very well make is with the world. Running with the world. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we'll see that the writer of the Proverbs writes these words, a warning to those who would be seeking God. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. There are way too many people today that are in the world, and we look and we realize that we are in the world, but many of those that are in the world want to continue to remain of the world. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. But look at verse 15. Avoid it. Don't see how close you can get to the edge. When an edge crumbles away and you fall down into it, it's pretty bad. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we'll see as Peter writes in this general epistle, he writes to Christians, he writes to those who are saved by grace, those who have been obedient to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he reminds them that all of us had a past. All of us do have a past. He said, for the past, or time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. When we look back on our lives, some of us might be very bold as to say, you know, I've never really been a bad person. I've never been an evil person. I've never done anything to hurt anybody. But the truth of the matter was, if you've lived any time on this earth, and you have been associated with the world, the stains, the sin of the world has affected you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How is it that they have sinned? They have been tainted by the world. When we walked in lasciviousness, when we walk in lust, in excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, and then verse 4 sees how that those who were with the world now look at us, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Those who have been baptized into Christ, those who have become children of God, those who seek and strive to live according to God's word, those who are of their past might very well say, you're not the same. No, I'm not. I'm different. I'm new. I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. But there are many of them who will speak evil of you because of that. You know, that was then. This is now. And we're living in today. We do not have to remain of the world. It's not an impossibility to escape that which was behind. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, we'll see the psalmist writing, and he says, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's interesting to me how that man tries to make it look like those that are in the world are happy. All the joy that goes along with all of the world's activities and the rioting and the drunkenness and the revelings and such like. And they say, you know, come be happy, celebrate with us. That's not happiness. According to the psalmist, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We need to understand that God's word has provided for us the means whereby we might be happy. And we can fit in it. We needn't always fit into the world. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, we'll find some things that the Lord hates. The things that disgust Him. Yet people of the world still want to participate in these things. It tells us specifically these six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet to be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And those who participate in these things are those of the world. These things disgust God. The reason is because He has directed within His word that we are to come out from among them. And be ye separate. So that tells us there is another hole that we might fit into. We needn't fit into the hole of the world or the form of the world, the fashion of this world. We might very well be separated from the world by the word. In John chapter 17, verse 14 beginning, we see Jesus Christ talking. And particularly, He's talking about His apostles. He says, I have given them thy word, speaking to His Father, which was in heaven. And the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is it that sets us apart? What is it that causes us to come out from among them and be ye separate? Well, it's the very word that Jesus Christ was talking about. Sanctify them through thy truth. Do you know that the word sanctify means set apart? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's why the psalmist said, my tongue shall speak thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 beginning, we'll see what the writer of the Hebrews letter is directed by the Spirit said regarding the word. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is that word which will divide us out of the world. Applying that word to our lives, living our lives according to that word, will take us out of the world and will translate us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, in regard to those who would want to keep one foot in the world and one foot perhaps following God, tells them, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It is important that we understand this. He then warns them and says, be not deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked by the things that the world says, the things that they say are pretty, the things that they say are beautiful are fun. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetors, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We can't be separated from the world by the word and still involve ourselves in the things that the world involves themselves in. Oh, it's not to say that everything in the world is bad. Everything that is in the world was created by God, and it was created for our benefit. But man has twisted things and have made many things evil. Notice he said, after he gives this long list of those sins which would separate us into that group known as the world, he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. These very people to whom he was writing had been involved in these sins. And such were some of you. Well, now, they might not all have done every sin. But how many sins does it take to separate us from God? Just one. He says, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Word was sent by the Spirit. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. It is that truth which will separate us out of the world and make us fit in God's kingdom. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus spoke regarding that same truth. He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is that same truth which helps us to come out of the world. To come away from those things which the world would have us involved with. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, we see a passage again that has perhaps confused some people. And I want to explain it so that we might understand within this context where we might fit. He says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. We have Israel mentioned twice here, but we have them mentioned in two different ways. Those of Israel here are the fleshly descendants of Jacob, those who were able at one point to trace their lineage back to Jacob and say, because we are of Jacob, that means we are of Abraham, and therefore we are the children of God. And from a fleshly standpoint, that was so. But then he says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. All Israel today are those who are born into the kingdom of God. And those who are born into the kingdom of God are born through the Word. That's how they're separated. That's how they do not any longer fit in the world. Separated from the world by the Word. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following, we see how this is explained. As this letter was written to the Galatian churches, he says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. No longer was it necessary to be of the fleshly line of Abraham. Indeed, not all of those who were of the fleshly line of Abraham were children of God. Ishmael was very much the son of Abraham. He was not a Jew. But he tells us here, for as many of you, in verse 27, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. It's really strange to me, with passages such as this, people try to come some other way into the kingdom of God. For as many of you, speaking to the Galatian brethren, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. How did they become one in Christ Jesus? They did so by obeying that which is found in the Word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Word of God teaches that we are to be baptized into Christ, to come out from the world and be a separate people. And he says in verse 29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, all Israel. Friend, all Israel today is the church. Those who have been baptized into Christ. And because of that, yes, they are Abraham's seed. And because of that, we are heirs according to the promise. Now, where do you fit? Are you running with the world? Or are you separated from the world by the children of light? Or by the Word? If we are separated from the world by the word, we need to walk as the children of light. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we see this. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." This is talking about their past life. This is when they were running with the world. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It's interesting to me, as a young boy, I would see people who would not know me. And they would say, "I bet I know who you are. You look just like your daddy." People have said that oftentimes about my son. "Oh, he looks just like his daddy." I don't think so. I mean, if he looks like his mama, that's good too. I think she's pretty. But the reason that they say these kind of things, they see the resemblance. When they look at us, we ought to be resembling God. He's our Father. Should we not look like Him? Of course we should. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." There's the evidence. Do we look like God? Can people look at us and see that we're walking with the children of light as the children of light? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, we see that having come out of the world, we are to continue outside of the world. We no longer conform to the shape of the world. We no longer fit in the world. He says, "You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Why? "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." We need to appear different. Oh, you can take a whole group of humans and put them in a room and say, "Yeah, you know, they all look like humans." But by our fruits, they should know us. They should look at us. They should realize that we are different. We no longer run with the world. We walk with the children of light. It says, "For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." We see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, that you can no longer remain involved in those same things or around those same things that you once were involved in. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we see, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." This person was dwelling in a place that was known for wickedness. It was so wicked that Abraham even bargained with God to see if there were even a handful of souls that were righteous so that he might not destroy that wicked and evil place. But Lot and his family were told to leave, and some of his family would not leave. Some of them even desired to look back. His wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And we find out as we continue to read how that the daughters had been afflicted and affected by the evilness and the wickedness. And there was a problem there. But look at Lot. "Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Why did he stay there? Well, I don't know. But he was able to get out. He could no longer remain there. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 46, we'll see the flip side of that coin. We'll see those who had those things, who had some things, and they saw to it that their brethren needed those things. And as their brethren needed those things, they gave them to them and did so willingly. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. They had compassion on their brethren. They said, look, I've got too much here. You take part of mine. It's yours now. Use it. Use it to the service of God. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, We'll see. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Why? Because they'd been taught one truth. Where did they fit? No longer in the world. And because they were of one heart and of one soul. It says, neither said any of them that all of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. We are brethren. Let us help one another. Let us do these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we'll see that it not only applies to our physical possessions, those material things that we have here on this earth, but it also applies to the way we live, to where we fit. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Why? Because they're teaching the same word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And as they taught the same thing, they did so to the saving of souls. You know, it's interesting to me that people will today offer an abbreviated plan of salvation. There's no place for an abbreviated plan of salvation because it will not produce the right results. When we are to teach the same thing, speak the same thing, we do so that there may not be any divisions among us. So that those who hear the gospel might have opportunity to make a choice as to where they're going to spend eternity. Oh, we have to be in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. It's not our home. We are just passing through. But while we are here, we've been given the glorious opportunity that we might choose God. We might choose to serve God. And as we choose to serve God, we must do so in accordance to the Spirit and the truth which the Spirit brought us. How is that? Well, the Bible teaches that for a person to become a child of God, so that they may no longer fit in the world, but may fit into the glorious kingdom of His dear Son, that we are to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call in on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Secondly, we are to believe. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Thirdly, we must repent of our sins. That means turn away. Remember, we can no longer fit in the world. We can no longer stay in the world. We can no longer involve ourselves of the things of this world. We must repent, turn away. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. But when a person's heard and believed and repented, they're still not saved. There's some other things that must be done. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we see that we must confess. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's just one place that we have in the Scriptures which show evidence of confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is a requirement for salvation. And then one is to be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When those people came out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized that they crucified the Son of God. They had fit into the world, but they now wanted to fit into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is that gift? Friends, it is the promise of eternal life. Do you want it? Then let me ask you this question. Where do you fit? Look at yourself. Examine yourself. Look at the shape. Do you fit the shape of the world? If not, then that means you must have already been baptized. It is quite possible that you were once baptized into Christ and have allowed sin to come into your life and have altered your shape. Now you more fit the world than you do the kingdom. Don't despair. you're still alive. And as you are alive and remain, you have opportunity, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, to reconcile yourself to God. You're still his child. You're just in error. But you do so through repentance and prayer. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Where do you fit today? More importantly, where do you want to fit? Most importantly, where do you want to fit for eternity? Ask yourself that question. Work backwards to the conclusion, or from the conclusion. If you want to spend eternity with God, trust him. Follow him. Do what his word says. Won't you do so? As together we stand and sing the invitation song.